Let's just open in a word of prayer again. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity that you have put before us, that we can actually know the creator of the universe, that we can actually know you in person because you sent your son. You came in the flesh to dwell among us, and that we might be able to get to know you through your holy word, that you sent the Israelites to write down all that is to be said about God, and it's our information, both to enjoy and to share. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for this opportunity this morning to come together and to pray and to work through the scriptures this morning. Pray this all in Jesus' name. To get started this morning, what I thought we would do is actually read the passage of Scripture that I'm going to be sharing with you from, and that is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. And I'll read that this morning. So starting in verse 21, when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons would be sacrificed. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the customs of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed to the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, Mary, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayer. And that very moment she came up and began to give thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and became strong, increased in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God bless this word to us. This message is entitled Encouragement and Divine Affirmation. We all need encouragement from time to time, don't we? very important for us. So did Mary and Joseph, and we will see how God strengthened them in an extraordinary way. Though Mary and Joseph both knew the baby was conceived when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and that the child would be called the Son of God, that you'll find in Luke 1:35, they probably could not fully comprehend the significance of what was happening and needed comfort and reassurance. Think about it. Forced to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the final days of Mary's pregnancy because of a government census, they could not even stay in a guest room because there was no room. So they stayed in a stable where Mary gave birth. In Luke 2:11, it says this, "First God sent the shepherds to them as encouragement. They appeared, announcing that angels had sent them to find a Savior who was Christ the Lord. Then he brought Simeon and Anna. Nearly 7 weeks had passed. Matthew 2:11 tells us that Mary and Joseph had settled in a house in Bethlehem. While there, according to the Mosaic law, on the eighth day, baby Jesus was circumcised. And that you can find and read out in completion in Leviticus 12:3. And he was officially named Jesus. They all knew that he would be named Jesus, but the official naming happened at that time. It goes on to say they must wait an additional 33 days before going to the temple in order to fulfill the laws required to redeem their firstborn and offer a sacrifice of 2 turtle doves for Mary's cleansing. And again in Leviticus, you'll see that in chapter 12, verse 8. Again, God surprised them with comfort and encouragement, entering on the scene Simeon and Anna. Directed by God's Spirit, the aged Simeon walked up to them and gently took the baby right out of their arms. Without explanation, he began blessing God for the infant in a very expressive way. And we just read that in Luke 2:29 through 32. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to the word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." I love that verse. "Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon knew exactly who the baby was. He was the Messiah, the Messiah of Israel. He affirmed what the angel Gabriel had already told Mary. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob," or Israel, "forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And that's Luke 1:31 and 32. "And an angel came to Joseph, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Matthew 1:20 and 21. God encouraged this young couple by confirming both his message and his identity, by sending Simeon and Anna, his chosen servants, whom he had prepared to meet them that day. Simeon is described as just a devout resident of Jerusalem, no one special. He wasn't a priest or anyone that had any specialness about him, but he was a servant of God, living in anticipation of God's redemption of Israel. That could only come through the Messiah Jesus. He lived in a daily relationship with God's Holy Spirit, and his pursuit of God had authenticated and secured a message from the Spirit. He would see God's Messiah before he died. It seems Simeon had shared this promise with others in the godly remnant of believers. Like Anna, who, by the way, at that moment walked up in that very instant and began to join the celebration. We read that in Luke 2:38. We just finished reading it. It says this: at the very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the Messiah, who would redeem all mankind. How did Simeon know when, where, and to whom to look for? Well, perhaps he knew that 18 months earlier, priest Zacharias was in the temple when he saw an angel who told him he and his elderly wife Elizabeth would have a child. They would name him John, who would go before them, before the Messiah, in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17. Or perhaps Simeon was even at the temple just 6 months before and met Zacharias and Elizabeth, who had brought John the Baptist to go through the very same laws of the Mosaic law and what was required for Mary and Joseph to complete. They were there completing it 6 months earlier. So maybe he was there for that. Could Simeon have come every day looking for the promised deliverer? Clearly, Simeon was directed by the Holy Spirit. But these events may have raised his awareness. It seems Simeon's appearance was absolutely intended to encourage people. These humble parents had a mission to raise this special child. Simeon then proceeded to warn Mary about her child's destiny. In Luke 2:34 and 35, it tells us that, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." He told Mary, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your soul as well, and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed at that time." I brought with me this morning just a little pamphlet. Sandy and I teach chronological studies of the Bible, and this little pamphlet here comes from Rose Publishing, and it has 100 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. Where do you think that Simeon had the ability to say these things were going to happen to Mary? Was he prophesying from his own knowledge? Yeah, from his relationship with God. But if you read the prophecies that are here, you will see that in here it says it shows Jesus' birth and all the texts that predicted Jesus' birth in the Old Testament. It's a fabulous tool to really learn what the Old Testament has to say is coming in the New Testament. What's going to happen then? 100 prophecies. The road for Mary and Jesus that lie ahead was not one that anyone would want to face. For the next years, there were times of family, but there was coming a day when both Mary and Jesus would suffer greatly. Jesus would divide the nation. Many would see him for who he was, the promised deliverer, and would accept him. And that was one side of this. Others would fall as a result of rejecting him. His ministry would reveal the true nature of the people's hearts, and Mary would suffer as she watched her son suffer. Simeon's message was like a double-edged sword for Mary and for Joseph. On the one hand, they must have been encouraged by his recognition of Jesus as the Lord's Messiah. On the other hand, Mary knew she would experience such heartache through her son's suffering. But Anna's appearance drew them all back to encouragement. Luke 2:38, we read this. And coming in that instant, as Mary was facing the distress of Simeon's prophecies, Anna broke into thanksgiving. This dear Jewish saint, who was around 84 years of age, was widowed after only 7 years of marriage, and had been in the temple, fasting and praying all the years till that day, as we read in Luke 35 through 37. She encouraged and rejoiced with Joseph and Mary in God's blessing. Luke describes Anna as, Luke described Anna as one focused on the positives, seeking to glorify God through her faith ministry. She had chosen to invest her life in fasting and prayer, and after she saw the infant Jesus, she spoke of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was a prophetess prepared through many, many years of focus on the kingdom of God and not so focused on her personal losses, which she had experienced, which probably made her ultimately suited to be the great encourager at that time. So God used two senior saints to affirm and encourage young folks to seek to obey him in the midst of trying circumstances. Isn't that the way it needs to be today? That quite a while, maybe months, before another encouraging group came, and that was, of course, the Magi, or the wise men, came, and they too encouraged Mary and Joseph. Meanwhile, Mary and Joseph, they lived a routine life, it says, and we read that in the latter part of the passage, resting in the joy of God's public affirmation of their son and his work that was yet to come. Yeah, what an amazing couple of people that God had prepared over so many years, and to meet with them at that time in the start of a journey that we would see over the next 30 years, where Elizabeth and Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, looks down the road and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was all to come. And it had pain and it had victory. And we worship him today because of all that we see was going on as a result of these people and their dedication to God and his word. And for this, I'm so grateful. I love this passage. I love Luke. Luke has a tremendous ability to introduce us to people that we can get to know in the Bible. He just has a great ability. And I'd encourage you, as you go from here today, that you decide, okay, I'm going to read the book of Luke from 1 to the end. And before Christmas, I think that's a great project for any one of us to take on. Dear Heavenly Father, we think about the people of our community here in Didsbury and area, but more specifically, Lord, right in and around this little country church. My Sandy and I, we love country churches. We just are so sad when we drive by one that has shut its doors and it's no longer around. And, there's probably other places to go, we know that, but still, we just are thankful that this group of believers here are in pursuit of carrying on and being a witness, a light in a community, a light in a place that in many ways lives in darkness, many people not attending church of any kind. And so, Lord, we just think about all of us here, that each one of us would be engaged with the community in some way, whether it be working through other organizations and becoming involved in things that are going on in the community, to meet more people, Lord, to give them the opportunity to get to know this Jesus who came to bring life to all. So we just pray for this little church, and we pray for their meeting, especially on Tuesday, that your will would be done and that you would encourage each and every one that's on the board to just be really praying regarding how this is all to look. And we will continue to pray, Lord, for the EMC Church here in Mountain View County. Lord, we just ask that you'd go before us this afternoon, go with the group that's going to be here singing the hymn sing, and this will be a wonderful time of blessing for all involved, and we just pray it's attended well. And Lord, we just give you thanks for your word today regarding Simeon and Anna, and of course Joseph and Mary, and what that all entails. So Lord, we just ask your blessing now on our time, and continue to look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.